I'm a West Ham fan, and I know that is something that is, for many of you, is something that you too wish that you, if only God had enabled you to be a West Ham fan. As a West Ham fan, I have to confess that this morning, feeling a little bit unsteady on my feet because of altitude sickness. West Ham at the moment are third in the table, and I don't think we've ever been third in the table before, so feeling a little bit uneasy, a little bit out of sorts at the moment. The thing about supporting a team, though, is that you get a match, and whether it's a netball match with a number of different quarters, or whether it's a football match with two halves, rugby match with two halves, what starts at the beginning is zero. Everybody starts at the same level, zero, zero. Everybody's got the same potential, the same opportunity to get out there and score and to win, but they all have to start from the same base plate. The thing is, though, with your team, like often is usually the case with mine, is that we're getting used to the idea that sometimes a team might start really well. It might start with a frenetic activity. There might be a goal at the beginning or a try or something. And that's a good start. But more often than not, for me, it's often having to come to terms with the fact that the start isn't always that great. Here we go again. If you're a Villa fan this morning, you know only too well what it is to have to suffer through trials and tribulations and to keep the faith all the time. Hang in there, hang in there. Even the Baggies fans too. Nice to see you, Colin. How'd it go yesterday? Baggies? Colin? Baggies yesterday? Nice one. Very good. Top of the league. That's what we like to see. And it can start sometimes where you feel like you're having to catch up at all. The thing is, though, keep the faith. Because it doesn't matter what happens in the first half. What matters is what happens at the end. What the end result is, not how it happens during the particular match. And we had this morning examples before us of people who say they have a bit of a past. We've all got a bit of a past, every one of us. I certainly have a bit of a past, and I'm pretty sure that most people here would say at some point or other in their lives, things have not gone to plan for them too. As well. And yet, time and time again, we hear people say, my life was this. My life had got itself into this particular mess, but thanks be to God. I am now a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come in Christ Jesus. And if the match is going badly in the first half, hang in. Because the victory comes in the second half. Paul, who we read in Acts of the Apostles, St. Paul, Apostle Paul, definitely somebody who had a past, a real past, so much so that by the time we get to Acts chapter 22, a lynch mob has tried to take hold of him, and they're trying to really do very nasty things to him. He's only rescued by being arrested by the Roman army in order to protect him from the lynch mob. Paul then says, no, don't just take me away. I want to speak to that lynch mob. Let me speak to them. And the army are saying, no, you will get torn to shreds. They will kill you. Paul says, no, I need to speak to them. And he stands up and he speaks to people. He speaks to people who are really disappointed with Paul because they think that he's kind of lost his way a little bit. He speaks to people who are really angry with Paul because they've been on the receiving end of some of his bad treatment of them in the past. He speaks to people who are really cynical about this change. Has Paul really changed? The one who used to go out trying to kill people and get people put in prison and put down, is he really the one now who's now talking about love and grace and forgiveness? But he's also talking to people in that crowd who are utterly inspired by the change that they have seen in his life. They knew him as Saul. They knew him as somebody who had a real past, and they'd felt the consequences of that past in their lives too because of what he had done to them. But now they see him not as Saul, but as Paul, the follower of Jesus Christ, whose life has been changed, who now talks about grace and mercy and forgiveness. Paul goes on to tell his story. And he's telling his story probably because what we have in Acts is his witness statement. It's the papers for the defence. Because by the end of Acts, he's in prison in Rome and Emperor Nero is having him tried. And it will end badly for Paul with his being put to death. And so Acts of the Apostles is probably the defence case papers that have been submitted to say, hey, this is Paul and why he's done what he's done. And in this defence paper, Paul says, I was that person with a past. I was the person that used to breathe out murderous threats. I was the person that used to go after people diligently in order to see them put down and put in a bad place. But then something happened. Something changed. And on the road to Damascus, when he was on his way to, because he'd heard about some other people he could persecute, and so he thought, I've missed them already, I need to go after them. On the road to Damascus, out of nowhere, a blinding light comes, and it shines only on him, and Saul can go no further. He's stunned, he's stopped in his tracks, and he hears a voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he realizes this is not just any old voice. This is the voice of Jesus Christ. He hadn't just been persecuting other people. He'd been persecuting people who were following Jesus. Jesus followers, God followers. These people are part of Jesus Christ's body. And so Jesus feels intensely their pain too. So it feels as if he too has been persecuted by Saul. A young man comes along. Everybody else is scared stiff of Saul because of the past he's got. He too is not so much called the midwife, more Peaky Blinders. He's got that kind of past. People kind of run from him. But one person comes up to him, Ananias, who's prepared to take the risk to welcome him and accept him. And he says this thing. What stops you? What stops you from what? Get up. Be baptized, wash away your past, and live for Jesus Christ. What's stopping you? And Saul realizes that actually nothing is stopping him. His past is not going to stop him. The crowd outside are not going to stop him. Even God is not going to stop him. Saul is not going to stop himself. Instead, he's going to respond and say, I'm in. I am in. Me, the one who with the past, is now going to have a future because of what Jesus Christ has done and his grace. And so Paul, too, is baptized like we have here today. And he goes on to live a very different life. Yes, his life is defined by one direction, but now it's been changed into a new direction in Jesus Christ. We all have life moments that change us. Maybe it's leaving full-time education and that transition to employment is a defining moment. Maybe it's the birth of a child or is getting married or it's moving from one area to another. We all have points where we say, my life was this and this happened and now it's completely changed. And we measure our life, whether it's before or after that event. Likewise, for some people, becoming a Christian is that defining moment. Their life before then, their life after then. It's why the whole world, when Jesus Christ came, said, stop the clock. Something so momentous, so big has happened in the world that across the world, the whole world says, stop. We have to reset the clock because of Jesus Christ. This one event has changed everything. And now that's why you and I talk about the years that we do, as in 2019 now, because it's 2019 years since Jesus Christ. And they say that the same all over. BC, before Christ, AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. For Margaret and Morris, like for many people here today, they say they lived a great life. Yes, a bit of a past, but a great life. But then something happened. Jesus Christ got a hold of them. They responded to Jesus Christ. What could hold you back? Nothing. They pressed stop. And from that moment, that pivotal moment, everything changes. In Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's their story, and that's the story of many people here today. And it's most definitely my story. I wonder how it fits with your story. where you think that pivotal moment has come in your life, whether it already has done, or whether you sense, actually, what if actually that's coming for you too now? Talk to Margaret, talk to Morris, talk to other people here about how faith in Jesus Christ, not religion, who's interested in religion? Nobody, I'm certainly not. How faith in Jesus Christ has changed everything for them. Not that they've become saints and perfect people that never do anything wrong. Check out with me if you want to be convinced of that. But instead, people are honestly seeking now to reorientate their direction to follow the teachings, the life, the ministry of Jesus Christ. The invitation is for you and I also, just as it was for Margaret and Morris. What's stopping you? Let's just take a moment of quiet to pray.